Well, my name is Chaplain Ben. I'm Chaplain for Faith-Based Mentoring Ministries. I welcome all you guys that are new today. Thankful that you're here. Just a little recap on where we were last week. We talked a lot about the law of change, and the law of change states that nothing can stay the same. So we're looking at the world and looking at ourselves and seeing that every single thing in the world, including ourselves, is ever-changing. But the one thing about us is that we do not like to change, nor do we like to face change, or are we comfortable with change. But see, if we fight it, then we suffer from it, because it's change that allows us to grow. When you talk about faith as in maturity, the Bible goes back and talks about wheat, and wheat has a chaff on the outside of it that's necessary for growth. But when the wheat is mature, the chaff has to come off for the wheat to be mature to plant more wheat. And that's that growth period, and that's that change that takes place. If you compare that to things in your own life where there were instances of things that were definitely valuable to you at some point where now they are not. And it's uncomfortable because you have to face that chaff coming off your life, that friend coming off your life, that place you used to hang out coming out of your life. And it hurts, but it's necessary for you to become mature and accept that change. The only thing that is constant in this world is God, because Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." So we acclimate ourselves to Him. And in thinking more about how do we change, I want to go to Matthew real quick before we get started, chapter 18. He says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And He called a child to Himself and set them before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whomever receives such child in My name receives Me. But whomever causes one of these little ones who believe in Me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea.'" I'm going to think about this. When Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And now we're talking about change. And then we want to talk about the mindset of the child. Why would He point this out? You know, why would He use a child as a reference against grown men to us and as a lecture for us to understand? I started thinking there's lots of different key points about children that are definitely more spiritual than adults. And I want to point these out real quick. He says, "Whomever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So the first point I want to make is acceptance. In Mark 4:20, the parable of the sower, the good ground, it's kind of like the child. The child receives the word and accepts it. Accepts God as the final authority because He is, and that's it. A child doesn't question why is God, or what did God do, or why did God allow this or that. He just understands that God simply is. So therefore, he doesn't get caught up on the thinking process of trying to overanalyze these things. And Romans 15, he says, "Wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accept the glory of God. Accept each other." Children see each other as the same. They see each other as equals. That's an interesting thing about children is no matter where they are or who they're with, those are their friends. You take a child, you pick a child up and you put him in the mess of another children, and he all of a sudden has 43 more friends. Right? He doesn't look at their social status, how much they got, what they've been through, if they got tattoos, or if they're old, or if they got money, or don't have money. It's his friend. Why? Because he's there. So first, they accept God in the understanding that that's it. And a lot of times, we don't accept God that way, because we first think of our money, our responsibilities, where we need to be, right? What we have to do, what we want to do, what we think we need. So all these things come into play before God when it goes through my 40-year-old mind. Whereas a child just accepts that God is. And then accepting each other, like how hard do I have to drive that point home, right? In Proverbs 17, he says, a friend loves at all times, and everybody is a friend to a child. In the world today, we're so quick to judge one another by the way that we look or what we have or where we live. And that's that first thing where I can't really look at you because first I have to look at you by what kind of clothes you got, what kind of car you drive, how much money you got, what's your social status, if you're cool or not cool or whatever it may be. But all that is division. It tears me apart. So I can't truly see you or benefit you or show the love of God to you because I'm judging you. Amen? Yes or no? Yes or no? Right? Right? What do people complain about? They go to church and it's like, well, I don't want to go to church to that church because it's got pews. I have to sit right next to somebody that I don't know. Well, the mentality of the church is that we are one body of Christ. There is no such thing as separation. We're in union with one another. So if this is my brother in this pew and this is my brother in this pew and we have whatever we have or whatever we do, that's it. Right? Because we are one body of Christ. That's the mentality of God. That's the mentality of the child. But it's not here anymore because we're growing up now, right? We don't implement that in our daily life. We gotta bring ourselves down, humble ourselves, and understanding that showing the love of Christ to every single individual we come into contact with is our calling. Amen? The number two is conviction. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The children's conviction of the world and their faith is extremely interesting. In Matthew 21, Jesus says, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. And everything in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And so if we take a child's faith and implement that in an adult faith, and then you take this message that he was telling to them, see, when they were walking, they were facing the mountain of Moab. We don't have a lot of time to explain this, but Moab was infested with Moabites, which was the thorn in the Israelite side. So when he's walking, he says, you say to this mountain, be removed from me. That's the hindrance into the Israelites as they were walking down that road, right? But many of you guys are walking down that road today, and the Moabites are right in front of you. They're just liquor. They're just alcohol. They're just money. They're just pride. They're just whatever it may be. The Moabites are whatever translation of whatever you're dealing with right now. And Christ said, if you say to that, it be removed and believe and do not doubt, it shall be removed from your life. Amen? That's faith right now. Faith right now. I mean, I'm struggling with addiction. I'm struggling with bills. I'm struggling with home placement. I'm struggling with my relationships. You need to have that faith that God is interactive in our lives. Amen? That God can change these things. God can promote us and strengthen us and guide us through these trials. We also have to have faith that no matter what's standing before us, it can be removed. Amen? A child understands that, whereas a man will analyze that all day long. Here's another good point. Compassion. Matthew 9:10-13 says, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice. Children are naturally compassionate. Colossians says, and so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. You know, we need to shed this hard world from us and become compassionate like children. I mean, they feel for one another immediately. I have a funny story about this stupid cat that I used to have. He used to bite everybody, right? You come home, nobody's in the house, it's quiet, you're walking through, get you right in the ankle. Every time, I just want to catch that little cat, I'll tell you what. And you know what? One day, I was watching TV, and my little guy's name's Caleb, and he was watching TV with me, and we're watching whatever he wants to watch. And then all of a sudden, bam, cat got him right in the leg, bit him, right? And I ran after and I got a hold of that cat, just finally caught that cat, chucked him 40 feet down the hallway. And Caleb's crying. I said, what you crying for, man? He said, well, you're going to hurt the cat. I said, he bit you. You know what I mean? He bit you. But it's just that natural compassion that no matter what you do to me, I still love you. You know, that's that compassion of God where we constantly stab at him, put him down and put him in the closet, under the shelf and under the carpet and don't talk to him all day long. But he still loves you. Amen. You know what I mean? That's that compassion. That's the kind of compassion that we need to start seeing towards others, that we ought to display towards others. Another cool thing about children is they're always happy to help. You ever notice that about kids? Anything you're doing, they're willing to do, right? But in today's day and age, like if I ask you, like, how many of you guys got a good friend that always needs help moving? I got a friend of mine I moved probably 4 or 5 times. You know what I mean? I'd never know. I'm like, when are you going to settle down? You know what I mean? But you know, we don't want to move people. We don't want to, you know, show up, DVD player still hooked up, nothing's in a box. You know what I mean? You can't have somebody come help you move and then not be even be ready. Like, what do you mean? You call me to move, not pack. You know, but you ask a little kid to do something and they're right there with you. I love the fact that they're willing to help. And then John 14, he says, "And I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." And the Greek word for this is parakletos, and it's the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is, when we're saved by Jesus Christ and we receive that baptism, we get the Holy Spirit into our lives. He actually walks with us. And I love the verse that he says here. He says, "And we will give you another helper, that he may be with you, that he will abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." When you abide with someone, you do not leave them. Amen. They don't get stranded. They don't fall for lack. They don't have to look for you. He's there. He's there 100% of the time. Question is, am I going to listen to him? Question is, are my ears open today to hear him? Amen. Right? Because he's there. He's with us every single day. Parakletos means he's called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit is a counselor, a comforter, a helper. And we see this in children being eager to help, but they don't weigh out what it's going to cost them. They jump in, you know. And I think of my little guy a lot, especially during this message. You know, I could be working doing landscaping. Caleb's right there. He's 6, you know. For the most part, he just slows me down. But, I mean, he's there to help, you know. You can't take that away from him because he's volunteering to help. And it's the best thing in the world because you nurture that. And later on, he may be helpful to other people as well, you know. But I don't have that mentality. I got to look into myself and think, am I that willing to help? Like when I see my neighbor digging in the yard, I don't go knock on the door and ask if he's got extra shovels, right? Right? Unfortunately. But I think that would be a model thing for me to do because that's what I'm called to do. Another thing that children do very clearly when they're young enough, all right? We got to cut teens out of this one. Respect for authority. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Hath the Lord much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and not obeying the voice of the Lord? But behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of deviation, and insubordination is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you." You know, I mean, this is a tough thing for us to look at in this essence because we always want to be in charge. We always want to be the one to make the decision. Sometimes we don't take time to think about that. And having respect for authority, which we'll get to on the next jump, is kind of having that trust. But if you look at this, he says, rebellion is the sin of deviation. It's insubordination as iniquity and idolatry. But we don't think about it that way. He said, does the Lord delight in offerings and sacrifices rather than obeying the Lord? Now let me ask you guys that question. Like, what do you think that he's asking us? What do we think God desires? Does God desire us to go out of our way and make sacrifices for him? Or would he prefer us just to simply obey what he has commanded? Put that in your own sense with your own children. If you told your kids today to clean the house, do the laundry, get your chores done, da 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 da, and the house is trashed, there's clothes everywhere, nobody's done anything you're supposed to do, but they made you a cake, are you going to be happy? Right? But that's what we do all day long. That's what I do all day long. I do every single thing that's perfectly beneficial to me, and then I come back to the Lord, well, here you go. Right? Here's your offering, here's your... Right? But that's not what he wants. He says, I'm here for you, furthermore, to cure you, And that's I want to focus on that just for 1 second. It says, washing of the water of the word by the renewing of their mind is able to cleanse your soul. When God puts ordinances and statutes in place, it's not so God can tell us what to do. It's a lot of times we kind of hide from God or hide from the things of God because I want to continue to do the things that I like to do. Whether it be smoke weed on the weekends, drink a little bit, have 5 girlfriends and I'm married, but I don't go to church because they're going to tell me that I shouldn't do that, so then I'm exposed by that. That's like guys that don't go to the doctor because they don't want to find out that they got a problem. People don't go to the dentist because they don't want to know they got a cavity. But you still got a cavity, do you or do you not? Right? You just happen to find out from the dentist who studies teeth and knows you have a cavity. Well, here is a Bible that studies souls and creates lives and heals and builds, right? So we hide from this, but the end result of it is to cure me, is to relieve me from what? This stress and pain that I continue to go after in my life. And if that doesn't make sense, then let's talk about it this way. How much longer are you willing to suffer using and chasing after the things of the world? When we're sitting here talking about change, going around this table, how many people said that they came here because I need to change? How many people said I came here because I'm struggling or I have things that I'm facing right now? Well, if we continue to do the exact same thing that we've always done, then how can we possibly expect a different outcome? Right? We've heard that before. Is that very popular saying? People say that all the time. They call it insanity, right? Keep doing the exact same thing and expecting a different outcome. Well, see, that's where Scripture comes in, where God says, I can take you exactly the way you are, and we can walk together. And if the Spirit convicts you on a daily basis, slowly but surely, to make that change and make that growth, then you will look back 6 months from now and say, wow, look where I'm at today. You may look 6 months forward and think, man, this is still not where I want to be, but at least I'm not where I was at. And it's due to the Scripture that I'm getting involved with. Amen. So therefore, it's beneficial to me, right? Because I can honestly tell you, for me personally, there has been nothing else that could restrain me. It took quite a few years in prison and reading the Bible every day and applying the Bible to my life, to stop me from being my own enemy. I don't know if many of you guys in here have been your own enemy in the past or are still struggling with that. This is the key. So, children accept what dad says, right? We need to see what the Lord says and why the Lord. But when you tell children, why do you tell the children not to touch the hot stove? Did I lose you guys? Do you know the answer to that? Let me hear you. That's right. You don't want to get them burned. So why does God tell Ben stop drinking 5 fifths of vodka? Right? Yes or no? Right? Right? So the next one is trust. And this is cool. But the definition of trust is the firm belief in the reliability of truth, the ability or strength of someone or something. When your children are little, no matter what you've done to them, no matter what you've been through, no matter how many times that you've let them down, they still view you as a superhero. Amen? Right? They still look up to you. They still believe my dad, my mom, superheroes. They still can do anything. And we look at ourselves like, man, I can't believe I'm still making it with this. You know, I'm struggling and pushing along here. But they look up and you got a cape on because they trust you. Amen. That trust that when dad says this is going to happen, it's going to happen and I can count on it. Amen. That's the kind of trust that we need to bring over to our faith, that when God says, I'm going to remove you from this and bring you to a better place, that I can put my cards there, put my stock there and know that I can trust Him in the way that my children trust me. Amen. I need to view God in my life and knowing that I can put that trust, that I'm pulling myself out of this net. Yes or no? Another thing that's really cool about children is they're full of joy. And I like to test this one. I love to test. I was experimenting on my 6-year-old. God bless him, pride. But like, I'll take him out and we'll wear him completely down, you know, completely beat, you know, just take that last little bit of energy from him and then get him back in the house, you know, and I'm always checking him. How you doing? How you doing? You know, just trying to see if I can get him to give up. You know, he looks me dead in my face. I'm great. This is awesome. I'm great. never wears down. Like me, I died 5 hours ago. I'm praying this little kid gets tired. You know what I mean? But think about it. You know, they got this joy about them that you can feed off of, man. And kids are just so wonderful, man. That's what Proverbs said. Everybody's a friend to a child a minute ago. But I love that. And Johnny says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Another verse says complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And I like that. And my note says, the children are content with what they have, with where they are, with where they're at. I mean, and we can achieve this through Christ and love. So the idea is, when I pull myself away from all these worldly things that are really just pulling me down and taking away from me and stretching me out and pulling my energy, and I put my faith towards the Lord and He begins to fill me up, He said that I've given these commandments to you that my joy and that your joy may be made full or complete. And this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So, where can we find happiness? Right? Where can we find happiness? In that verse, what's he say? It's in the Lord. Happiness is in the Lord. Let me ask you this. Let's put it to the test. How about happiness in a brand new car? There's happiness in a brand new car, right? For about 2 months. Right? There's happiness in a good dinner, right? For about 45 minutes. And that's sadness for me because I eat too much. What about a brand new house? That brings happiness, right? How long does that last? Till your water heater goes out? Till you got to put a new roof on it? There's happiness in motorcycles. I love motorcycles. But even motorcycles wear out, right? Doesn't seem to be when you're riding on them, right? But it doesn't make you happy internally. You still have bad days. You just wake up and you think, well, I'd be sad, but I do have a motorcycle. Everybody said you can't frown on a wave runner. But in reality, all of these different forms of happiness are superficial. And they have a time frame to them. The truth is, only joy can be made complete in Christ. And until I get that through my mind and understand that the more I draw myself into my faith and the more I show that love to others, the more I'm full of joy so that others can get that joy from me. Amen. So I can go home and my family can see that I'm bringing that peace to the table, that hope to the table. But it doesn't come from my family, although I love my family, right? I do anything for my family. We've said we'd do anything. Even when we're locked up, we say we'll do anything for our family. Right? I think we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about being locked up and saying, I'd ride a 10-speed through snow to make cheeseburgers so I can kiss my babies. I don't have to get taken away again. Right? But you come home and McDonald's doesn't pay enough and I don't want to ride a 10-speed. Right? Right? You know, so we have these expectations that get in the way. But I can tell you that if we get our faith correct, then everything else comes to fall into place. You know, children are not hindered by overanalyzation. And Matthew 11:25, it said, thou dost hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Psalm 19:7 says, for the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So, we gotta understand that how this works in our lives. It's so contrary to everything else that we think. You know, bringing ourselves humble when we want to be prideful. Getting in the Word when we want to do other things. It's the sacrifices that we're going to make and getting towards the Lord and not overanalyze these things. Have you ever ran into people that are just too smart to understand? They got a reason for every single thing that you talk about. No matter what you put at them, they give you one back immediately. You know, they're not ready yet. Amen. But I can tell you that when you face that roadblock, whatever roadblock that may be for you, I know what mine was. I remember my roadblock. It was very tall. There wasn't another side yet. And when I hit that roadblock, I had to ask myself, Do I owe it to myself to give this a shot? Do I owe it to my children to give this a shot, right? Yes or no? Another thing that children have is a repentant heart. When you catch them doing something wrong, they're sorry for it. They learn from it. They apologize for it. They're open about being sorry for it. You catch an adult doing something wrong, they didn't do it. Right? We were talking a little bit earlier today about people being locked up. Nobody's guilty. Everybody's innocent, right? Nobody did it. It says here in 2 Corinthians 8 through 10, sorrowful to the point of repentance. Sorrow, according to the word of God, produces repentance. So it's not necessarily that I'm sorry that I did something wrong. It gets to the point of where I'm sorry that I've let you down. It's that sorry that I let you down that when you look at your kids and you know you've let them down. Anybody been in them shoes before? You know that feeling? When you look them dead in their eyes and you know you've already let them down? Or your parents down? Or your brother, or your wife, or your sister? That's the kind of repentance that we're talking about here. It's not, I'm sorry because I got caught. It's, I'm sorry because I love you. I'm sorry that I hurt you because I care for you. Amen. That's the kind of repentance that we're going for. Another thing that children are is they tend to be very humble. And Philippians 2:5 talks about Christ. Says, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I want to do 1 Peter 5:6. Says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. I love the end of this verse, and I want to talk about it. He humbled Himself to the point of being obedient even unto death. That's how humble Christ was. And children, when you talk about us to children, they humble themselves to their parents, right? Let me give you an example. The verse says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. You remember coming up and looking up at your parents and thinking, you know, you didn't know if you could make it. You didn't know if you could succeed. You didn't know whatever. And Mom had you, or God got you. I mean, Dad had you. You know what I'm talking about? The relationship of a little kid. Now, I know, I can tell you, if Caleb was afraid and hurt or skinned his knees or something like that, and I swooped him up and grabbed him and held him, he's going to take a couple breaths. He's going to be all right. That's what he's talking about here. And children, they soak up that love from their parents. They look for that love from their parents. And no matter who you are, you were created to be loved and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is that love is what we feel. It's that love is what we share. It's that love what comes between each and every one of us. But see, we have a hard time transferring that love from the love to the child, from the love to Christ. But that's the way we need to look up to Christ. That's the verse. The verse says, casting all of your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. But how many of us today are carrying around with so much anxiety that we can't breathe right? How many of us are so stressed out with the things that we're going through today that it's hindering us from making clear, conscious decisions? But yet it says casting all your anxiety. Did He say cast 30% of your anxiety? Bob, how much? 100%. Right? So it says, I'm going on my knee and I get them, and I can go in my room right now because God's not unaware of who I am. I go in my room right now, get on my knees, say, God, I'm drinking every day. God, I'm smoking every day. God, I'm still violent. God, I still run people over. God, whatever. Because it isn't like I'm hiding anything, right? Does He not know what I'm doing? Right? So here's all my anxiety. Here's everything I'm facing. I go in the inner room and shut the door and get on my knees and say, Father God, here's my struggles. Here's my anxiety. I'm going to cast it on You. Amen? And if I cast it on Him, I'm not going to take it back. If God worked so hard to remove this from me, and I said, well, here, take, do you remember this? Take this anxiety from me. Take it. Take this anxiety. Please take it. Take it. Take it, right? But I'm not letting go of it because I want to wake up tomorrow. I want to be sad, sorry for myself. I don't want to let go of this anxiety because it's a part of me, Right? I don't like change. Amen? But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't need anxiety in my life. Amen? And the verse says, cast it on God because He cares for me. So why don't I do that? Why do I wake up every day and worry about my probation officer and my bills and all these different things? I'm not saying that I shouldn't be diligent to do the things that I need to do, but shouldn't I at least give the stress of that to God and understanding that He's got me? Where's my trust factor? Amen? Where's my trust factor? Last but not least, love unconditionally. And 1 John 4:7-8, He said, Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is from God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. The one who is not loved does not know God, for God is love. And children have a natural sense of compassion, man. They accept and love anybody and everybody they come into contact with. That's the mentality of Christ. That's the mentality of the body of Christ. It's not to put on big clothes and point at you, or you point at me about I'm not good enough, or you're not good enough, or whatever it may be. It's not that. It's about sharing that love of God that sets everyone else free, that builds everyone else up, that cures everyone else. Amen? And I want to do the two differences between children and adults. It says, children do not judge you by the way you look, what you have, who you are. They take you for face value. Whereas if you... Now, oh, I got one more story about Caleb. He goes to school. He comes home one day and he was talking about passing out treats and he said, Logan. And I said, well, who's Logan? He said, well, that's my mean friend. It's like, that's my mean friend. You know, I said, yeah, that's my mean friend. You know, he punches people sometimes, you know, shakes it off and goes away. And I'm thinking to myself, that's my mean friend, right? But to Caleb, still his friend. He's in his group. That's still his friend. His friend has a tendency to punch him from time to time. He don't like that. but that's his mean friend. But an adult, that'd be my enemy, right? Because what happens when you're an adult, somebody punches you in the street? Is that still your friend? Well, let's look at it closer. To Caleb, he was still a friend, but now he'd be my adversary. Proverbs 25:21 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. And on our side, Matthew 5:6, he says, for if you love those who love you, what reward is there? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Right? So the mentality of Christ is, no matter who you are or what you've done to me, I need to show that love of God to you. I need to share that love of God to you. The mentality of the world is, eye for an eye. Amen? And that may be the dispensation of the law. There's a lot of people still living under the dispensation of the law, which will receive, you know, whatever they built up for themselves. But we, under the dispensation of grace, show love. Amen? So that when you hit me, I love you back. When you let me down, I love you back. When you don't show up, I love you back. Amen? Because it's that love of Christ that penetrates that. Amen? It's that love of Christ that we need in our life that can make that change. We can hide from it all day long and make light of it. But at the end of the day, we need to separate ourselves from this world that's consuming us and start sharing the love of God. And that's what he's talking about, is having the mindset of a child. Now I'm going to go back to this very first verse that we started with just to recap. He says, whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And when you think about that, if we can remove all these things from us and just accept Christ as He is and don't put these preliminary things in front of us anymore and start functioning with that love and acceptance no matter who we are, then we're going to promote that change that we need in our life. Amen? Amen. Okay.